Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." And God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." This is the word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. "And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that I am?' And they told him, 'John the Baptist.' And others say, 'Elijah.' And others, 'One of the prophets.' And he asked them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered him, 'You are the Christ.' And he strictly charged him to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.' And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace is something of a foreign concept for most of us. We've heard of it. We are aware that it is, in fact, a real thing. However, very few of us really know what it's like. Oftentimes, this is because we have a wrong understanding of exactly what peace is. The first thing that we usually think of when we think of the word peace is the peace that happens between nations. You know, peace between us and Britain or Russia or whoever. Other times when you think of peace, it is probably something like peace and quiet. Quiet time, restful time, alone time maybe. And interestingly, the type of peace that Paul is talking about here is most closely related to that first one. Because there was a time when you were at war with God. A time when you were the enemy of God. A time when you wanted nothing more than to be God. However, for you, that time is now over. Now the time of peace has arrived. For our reading today, I'm going to start with the second half of our epistle reading to ensure that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt where that peace comes from. And then after that, we can start talking about the suffering that comes along with our peace. Listen, therefore, and hear of the love of our Lord. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. I don't know if we think about the timing of what Jesus did very often. I don't know if we think about the fact that when he came was the precise right moment to come. And I don't know if we recognize that the reason that that was the precise right moment is because it was while we were still weak. We recognize our weakness. We don't like to admit it and we don't like to talk about it, but it's there. We know that we can't do much of anything. We know that if it wasn't for God coming to die for us, that we wouldn't be able to do anything at all to save ourselves. But do you also know that that is not true anymore? Recognize that when Paul says, while we were still weak, would imply that they are not weak anymore. Would imply that they are now able to actually do things. But that's the now, and we're still talking about the right time that Jesus came. And it is during that time that Christ died for the ungodly. As Paul mentions here, being willing to die for someone who's good, that actually happens on a relatively regular basis. And I think that in our heads, we sometimes think about, it's like, well, who would we be willing to die with or die for? And you probably have a list of people. Probably people who you love and people who you think are worth dying for. But I bet you that list does not include your most hated enemies. And this is what Jesus did for us. When we were hating God, when we were his enemies, that is when Christ came to die for us. That is when Christ came into your lives in baptism, when he preached the word into you, when he pursued you in order to save you. This was the right time. When there was no lower you could go, that's when Christ came for you. That is when Christ reconciled himself with you. And it took his death in order to make that happen. But think about this. Paul is making the point here, if while we were enemies with God, that Christ was willing to die for us, how much more do you think he'd be willing to do for you now that you are not his enemies? How much more will he be able to spend his life for you now that you are in fact his brothers and sisters? We are in a better place now than we have ever been because Christ lives for us, because Christ has made us a part of his family. Unfortunately, people now associate us with Christ because of that. They now, when seeing us, actually see our Lord, and because of that, suffering will come our way. Listen, therefore, and hear what Paul has to say about how we deal with that suffering. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. We were talking about boasting in the Bible study earlier. And I think it translated it rejoicing in the reading, but boasting is another way to translate that, and probably more appropriate for what Paul's getting at here. And so, the question then comes up. Are you peaceful? Are you hopeful? Do you boast in that hope? Do you recognize that that hope is there to boast in? Because nothing can take that away from us. And people will see that, and they'll recognize it, and you can tell them about it. However, part of what happens when we made peace with Jesus, or more accurately, when Jesus made peace with us, is that we are now in a state of war with the world around us, which means that we suffer, and that we will suffer until we die and are finally with our Lord. We are enemies of the world living in the world, and therefore suffering is going to happen. We cannot avoid it. Paul, though, teaches us here that in our sufferings, good can come from that. He starts this chain here of consequences and of results. And we see Paul do this in Romans a couple of times. So we rejoice in our sufferings, but we don't rejoice in our sufferings because suffering is enjoyable. We don't rejoice in our sufferings because it's fun to suffer or because we want to suffer. No. We boast and rejoice in our sufferings because we know the end result of those sufferings. We know that from suffering comes endurance. The endurance here is what's being spoken of as far as like when you're running a marathon. That suffering is actually strengthening you to live in this life, strengthening you to struggle against the world around us. From that endurance, from that ability to take a blow and keep on going, comes character. The word character in the Greek here has the meaning of, it's more along the lines of character that has been proved, character that has been tested. Maybe another word that you can think of is resilience. Resilience that you have taken blows and you kept on going. And so you know that when you take more blows, you can still keep on going. You know that as you keep on running the race, that you'll be able to continue going because you've done it before. And then it is from that experience, from that resilience and that character, that our hope comes from. Our hope that we know that we can make it. We know that even though this world is a struggle in sin, even though we're being attacked every day, that we will make it. That God will come for us, and that when He does come, we will be found with faith. The faith that God has given us. And therefore, that hope will never disappoint us, because it will always be there, and it will be there to the end when He finally comes. If anyone ever told you that being a Christian was easy, they were lying. It is simple, but most certainly not easy. The devil tries to kill you, the world rages against you, and your own sinful nature tries to drag you down every day. Suffering is a part of life in this sinful world. You will never be able to escape it. You know this truth, and therefore you are free to accept it when it comes to you. By doing so, you will build your endurance. You'll begin to be able to stand in the midst of the suffering of this world and to stand strong. By standing strong, you'll be able to build character. You'll be able to realize that you can, in fact, withstand the assaults of the devil, the world, and the sinful nature. And once you realize that, you'll have hope. Once you realize that God has given you the gifts and the blessings that you need to survive in this world and to thrive in the next, nothing will be able to rock you. That is, nothing will be able to knock you off your rock, who is Christ. The world has decided that suffering is the worst evil possible, and that the avoidance of suffering is the best good possible. This has led to the abortion of millions of babies, the abandonment and sometimes murder of our elders, and is leading people to isolate themselves now more than ever. Because that's what you have to do to avoid suffering. When you live and interact with other sinners, you are going to suffer. If you allow yourself to have relationships with the people around you, you are going to suffer. But what people are also beginning to realize is that if you isolate yourself, if you push others away from you in order to try and avoid that suffering, you are still going to suffer. But now, you're going to suffer alone. It's going to happen. But when suffering comes your way, you are free to endure it. You are free to share it with others here in this place, and most importantly of all, you are free to share it with the one who has already suffered for you. He can handle it. And while it's hard and not fun, so can you, thanks to the hope that you have in Christ. When Christ died for you, He made you strong. He made you able to endure the sufferings of this world. Christ suffered the full wrath of God Himself, something that none of us could bear ever. in order to save us and bring us into his kingdom. You need not be reeds shaken in the wind. You are free to be the inextinguishable lights that the Lord has created in this world, and are free to trust in the peace and hope that God has given you, no matter what sufferings you may be enduring. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.